The following is an interview of Bhaktivikas Swami Maharaj about his life and activities in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, Hari Bol. The interview was conducted on 12th May 1998. Hare Krishna.
Give me some water. Many of the things you asked about touched upon at least briefly in the book My Memories of Srila Prabhupada. In there, it's sometimes people ask, what was my life previous to coming to Krishna consciousness? I already wrote in the book that it was dog's life, that's all. Animal life. So that's a summary of it. How did I come to Krishna consciousness? I think that's also stated there. You could analyze in this way or that way or any other way. With so many different apparent causes, but the ultimate cause is the causes mercy of Srila Prabhupada. That's the actual cause. What other questions are there?
Maharaj, if you could briefly give us an idea as to where you started your Krishna consciousness and where it took you subsequently.
I joined this movement in 1970, as I wrote in that Memories of Prabhupada. I was mercifully allowed to. I was accepted into this movement in 1975. What happened, I was just an average wretch. Brought up in England, my father was a teacher, primary school teacher. Then, I finished my A-levels, that means usually that's pre-university. People go on from university after doing that. I was put up a year early in school. So I finished, you're supposed to finish at 18, but I finished at age 17. I struggled through because I hated it so much. I really didn't like school. In the beginning I did, but later I was supposed to be a good student, but later I just hated it. I could see what's the use of all this study, but then very frustrated kind of life. So then everyone expected me to go to university, but I had no desire whatsoever to go, not even the slightest. I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I just kind of wandered around like a vagabond for about a year or so.
You're just traveling, Maharaj. Where were you originally, your native?
I was born near London and then at the age of 7 we moved from the town I was born in to another town, which is a very rough kind of place. I stayed for about 3 years. Then went to another place. All the places close to London, northwest of London, all within 20 miles of London. So then, I was actually in Ireland when I got that Krishna book, saw that Krishna book.
Basically, you are from Ireland, the family?
No, my mother's from Ireland, my father's from England. I was born and brought up in England. I don't think I ever went to Ireland, just as a baby, I can't even remember it. I only went there after finishing school.
Only to get Prabhupada's book?
Maybe, yeah. I was reading so many different kinds of. I used to read a lot of books, but I got totally frustrated with them. I remember this funny story that I was on the boat going from, I think it was from Wales to Ireland. It was a summer's day, so I was sitting on the deck. I was reading this book called Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse, this famous, I believe he's a German or Austrian writer who wrote on kind of mystical subjects. He was a famous author, but I hadn't read any of his books. It was the first one I'd read. And it was leading up to the realization of this, I believe it was a boatman who ferried people over the river, and the whole book led up to his realization. At the end of the book, it came to the realization that everything is one. And I was so disgusted, I threw the book off into the sea and vowed never to read any books again. I didn't like impersonalism. Even I didn't know what personalism was, but I didn't like impersonalism. It just seemed, there were so many impersonal ideas, it was all vague mumbo jumbo. nonsense, just some pretentiousness without any actual knowledge. I became an atheist about the age of 12 or something like that, because I saw at the people who are supposed to be representing God, they were such poor examples that I thought, if these people are representing God, they're bus. They're calling him all good, but what is it? If this is what believing God does to you, then what's the use of it? So I became an atheist due to lack of proper knowledge.
You were talking about being in church and helping with the service and all.
Yeah, my mother used to force me to go to church. I didn't like it until I found it was a good means of income. That you get something, by doing the helping in the rituals at weddings and funerals, you got some easy income. So I kept on doing it for that, even though I didn't believe in any of it. There's so many things. Then later on, in my frustration, I didn't know what to do. So there's got to be more to life than this. See, in southern England especially, there's a lot of very intellectual people, but they're very superficial. And I was really disgusted with that. I thought, I was longing to get out of school and to get out of England, especially southern England. Because I didn't like that whole kind of pseudo-intellectual atmosphere. I didn't like it at all. So I was trying to find out what to do with my life, but I had no idea what it was then. Finally came to the conclusion that through personal philosophical deliberation that there must be a God, and the goal of life must be to understand him and serve him, and he's a person. But who he is and how to find him, I have no idea. So after that I thought I'd only read scripture, I thought after that, because such man-made books are all useless. So I was just reading the Bible, although I wasn't attracted to Christianity, but the New Testament, I was attracted to that, to Christ. And the Quran, I was reading some English translation. And some edition of Bhagavad Gita, which I couldn't understand at all. There's no purports. But the only thing I liked about it, I remember, was it at the end, the whoever translated it said, "May Lord Sri Krishna bless you." That's all I remember from it. Otherwise, I couldn't understand anything. Then when I saw this Krishna book in someone's home, what happened, I was living in someone's home working as a cook. Even though I was vegetarian, I was cooking meat for them.
So you had been a vegetarian even before, from a very early age?
No, not very early age. I was trying to be a vegetarian from about 15 against my father's, in face of my father's displeasure. Just because I read in some yoga book that one of my sisters had, saying that meat was bad for health, so it seemed to make sense. Eating dead bodies didn't seem to be blood and flesh didn't seem to be very good for health.
How many brothers and sisters?
Four sisters, two older than me, two younger. No brothers. So then what? And there's intoxication and so many things. Normal, degraded upbringing. Then I saw, I was in someone's house and they had this Krishna book, Volume 2, and the family, so a young girl there. Young girl means she was a little older than me, about 20 years old or something. She had started to read the book and folded the page over when she stopped to read, page 1. So I read the book, because I saw it was translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, so I saw this is a scripture, so it was okay for me to read. So then I read that, and I'd seen on TV, I never used to watch TV, hardly, but it was on in a room I was in. I saw there was something about Hare Krishna starting a temple in Lechmore Heath near Watford, which was just close to where I was living. So that just stuck in my mind. So I knew there was a temple, Krishna temple, there in England, so I thought I should check it out. And I didn't actually think, I was very skeptical, because I'd seen some. Actually, what happened was my best friend at school, he was interested in spiritual things more than me, and he got some books of Prabhupada's when he went to London. saying he was very interested to show them to me. This was a couple of years before I came to the movement. I was still at school. So he showed them to me, and I was very skeptical. I said, I don't want to see all these things, all these Indian gurus, they're all bogus, they're all cheaters. I don't have anything to do with it. So I was very doubtful, actually, that there was anything there, but I thought at least I should go and try and check it out and see. So then I went first back to my father's house. I just left home. Normal thing that young people do. I just left without telling him. Didn't know where I was or anything. So came back after about a year or something. I mean, after I left school, I worked for some time to get some money. And then I just traveling around here and there. So I came back, and then I phoned up because I knew it was just a short distance from my father's home. So I phoned up, and I found the number in the phone book. It was in the same phone area. And asked about coming to the temple. They said, well, don't come now. Come on Sunday. We have a festival. So okay. I was ready to go right away. So I went on Sunday, and it was Easter Sunday. You know, that is Easter Sunday. It's a Christian festival. Mm-hmm. Although not. Anyway, I went, and it was a sunny day, so I went by bicycle. My bicycle was there. But you know what the weather's like in England. By the time I reached there, it started to snow, even though it was only about 10 miles or 12 miles, something like that. And the bicycle punctured. So I was trying to get it mended when I was there, but I couldn't get it mended, so I had to stay overnight anyway. Didn't have much choice. It was thick snow. So when I came in the temple, the first impression that hit me was the incense. What a nice smell. And then I came in, and this is Bhaktivedanta Manor. Mm-hmm. And I saw these beautiful paintings of Krishna on the wall. So everything, all my senses as I came in, I was attracted one by one. I saw the devotees, and they were so bright and happy. I could immediately understand these people are actually happy, because I see so many people smiling, and there's just plastic smiles. They're just putting on a show, but actually they're not at all happy. So I was attracted to that because I was so miserable. And I was so frustrated. And I knew the whole material world is crazy and insane, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it, but I had no idea what the goal of life was. So then I had... one thing was they were serving prasad, they were giving out Mahaprasad. And I was already a vegetarian, but when I remember the first thing I took, it was some caramel. They boil down milk with sugar and mix it, and the sugar becomes a little burnt. And just the flavor, it was so attractive. But they didn't have any, actually I was very hungry, they didn't have any prasad. That was all, that was just a tiny little bit. They'd already served out the feast at midday, and that was it. It was all over. I wasn't expecting to stay overnight. Anyway, I had discussions with different devotees, and I already decided if anyone can show to me philosophically that they're, because there's so many people saying that we are correct. They said, if anyone can convince me philosophically that path is correct, I'll just follow it and do it. What else is there to do? So I had different discussions with the devotees, and the thing that convinced me was that it was philosophically correct. Well, one thing was that they believed in a personal God, and they believed in reincarnation. Another thing I understood is that reincarnation must be correct. Because, if there's God, there must be God. It doesn't make any sense that there's no God. But then, there must be reincarnation, because this whole Christian idea that if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in Jesus, you go to hell forever, doesn't fit with the idea of a merciful God. It doesn't make any sense. Because even your own father forgives you if you do something wrong, gives you another chance. And then what about all the people born like in Buddhist countries or brought up in a culture which is they never heard of Christianity? And then it doesn't make any sense. So reincarnation means that God must give you many chances. So I was immediately open to it, that they were saying God is a person and reincarnation. But still I say, well, this may be just your idea. And they said, no, this is based on scripture. So I was also ready to accept that, because I was also already only reading scriptures.
you remember the specific devotee you spent time with, or any of the devotees?
Yeah, well, the one who got these points down on me was the one I spoke to first of all on the phone, who told me to come on Sunday. That was Narahari, he's from Wales. He married an Australian wife. He's been living in Australia for many years now, at New Govardhan Farm. Jolly Narahari. But he was quite heavy with me. He said, why should I accept you? Why shouldn't I accept Guru Maharaj Ji? That's some bogus guru at that time. Well, I didn't have no attraction to him. I just for the sake of argument, I said that. So I said, you have to follow scripture and you have to follow the parampara system, which is the self-realized acharyas who follow everything in the scripture and they present God. So the combination of the philosophical argument plus plus seeing that the devotee, you could see the devotees, they were living a very austere life. They were very happy even though they didn't have any material possessions. They were completely dedicated to God. It was exactly what I wanted. So I immediately decided this is it. And devotees didn't believe me. They didn't think that I was just ready just to join on the spot. But I was. Well, I was in a little maya because I thought, well, I had a whole bunch of stuff, clothing and all kinds of useless things that was coming in the post from Ireland. So I said, I'd go back home and wait for that to come. In the meantime, they gave me some chanting beads and some more books. So after a week of waiting for the packet to come, I phoned up and said, hey, look, I'm not waiting anymore, I'm just coming. So I did.
So after the first stay that night, so the next morning you started off?
Yeah, it must have been the next morning.
Mm-hmm. And after a week you were back?
Like about a week, yeah. Maybe it was 2 weeks, I can't remember exactly how much.
And that was it?
That was it. I was reading, I stayed at a Christian monastery for some time in Ireland. Not committed to join them, but just as a kind of guest, and I was doing some work in their farm. But they had one book called Lives of the Saints, which is, it's originally in Latin, they translated it in English. So, there's all different saints. Some of them were saintly and some of them weren't so saintly. But I remember reading one that described one saint. He joined the monastery. So many boys joined the monastery just to get an education. But he was very serious about spiritual practices, and this way he was different from the other boys who joined the monastery. So I thought, well, if I'm ever so lucky to find out a society of people who are actually I knew I needed someone to guide me, and I was reading about Jesus, but I thought, where is a person like Jesus who can actually guide me? And I don't see anyone in Christianity, and they don't even have any right philosophy, any proper understanding. So if I can actually find someone to guide, so I thought if I ever actually do find a person, although I never thought there was such a person, I doubted the possibility of it, seeing so many cheaters in the name of religion. I thought, well, I'll be like him. I'll be very serious. I'll take it seriously. Occasionally I thought about going to India, but I thought, what's the use? What's the use of going there? And so there may be, for the sake of spiritual life, but I thought, you see all the Indians who come here, they're all so-called gold yogis, they're all cheaters, what's the use of going there? There'll just be more of them over there.
And so you're joined in the manor, and
yeah.
That was the first service that you've taken up, what was given to you?
Cleaning the floor. All kinds of cleaning.
By then, the deities were already...
Yeah, Radha, Gokula, Ananda. Yeah. I didn't relate to the deities at first, it took me a little time.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the devotees explained, then I could understand. Then about 2 weeks, I was there for about 2 weeks doing cleaning, running out on some different programs, this and that. And then I was taken to Central London, Berry Place Temple. Where we were doing, actually not even book distribution, record. There's only record distribution at the time. I was the first person to join for about 6 months. Because they weren't distributing books, they were only distributing records to pay off old debts incurred by the previous GBC. So the devotees weren't very much encouraged to do that, but they were doing it as a matter of duty. Many of the devotees from that era, they're still attached to and active in Krishna consciousness. But just after I joined, actually, a whole group of other devotees also joined. Nothing to do with me, but it's just as because it was, I don't know why, I guess it was difficult for people to join. It was extremely cold in that winter, and there's no heating. They couldn't heat the building with any money. So then I was after some time traveling Sankirtan, then we got back into book distribution. I was distributing books traveling in England. After some time they made me treasurer of Bhaktivedanta Mana. And then I didn't like that. I wanted to go on book distribution, sitting in an office all day. I was only, 18 years old or something. So then after some time, I went on traveling Sankirtan again. Then Rancho Prabhu was going to... And many times I went to Ireland for book distribution. That was the best place for book distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are better at doing book distribution, they usually went there to exploit it. In December, we had the December marathon, and it was said that the top two distributors could go to India for the festival. So I managed to get in at number two.
Yes.
So I went to Mayapur for the festival, but then I got very sick. It wasn't actually because of India. It was the devotee had just come back from Africa with jaundice, which I picked up in England, but then it manifested in India. So I was sick for months after coming back from India.
And the Mayapur festival, that was the first time you must have seen Prabhupada also?
No, that's described in that memories of
Prabhupada. Yeah, before India. I mean,
so I'm saying many of the things are in there. You're asking about my reaction to Prabhupada's passing away. That's also, there's a lot about it in there. In that memories of Prabhupada.
So how long is it that you were basically in UK? So it must have been the next...
Between UK and Ireland. Then after some time, Rancho Prabhu wanted to start a center in Ireland, so I went to help him, although we never really got anything substantial. But I spent quite a lot of time in Ireland, actually, during those first 1.5 years or so. And joined the movement. Actually, I was sick. I could hardly do anything. And the town president at that time, in the manor, I was sick after being in India. Vichitravirya Prabhu said to me, you should write something. He said, just as an exercise, you should write some essays on the philosophy. I couldn't really get into it at the time. I didn't come till later, writing. Yes, I was in England and Ireland. But now I had some problem. We were on traveling Sankirtan. We were going out in vans, and we'd sleep in the vans also, and there was no... We'd take baths with cold water, and it's cold in England. So we'd sometimes we'd be in below zero temperatures or just above zero for weeks on end, day and night. And we were just eating dried fruit, and because we didn't want to spend time cooking, and we'd take some hot milk with that dried fruit, with milk in the morning and butter, but I didn't usually take the butter, and then just some milk at night. And cold bath and cold all the time. So after some time I got, my body seized up, my arms and my leg, they didn't move. They'd go through days when I couldn't walk. I could only walk with limping. So I was doing Sankirtan in a wheelchair for some time, and I just had to stay in the temple, and after some time it would again get better. Then I got in Sankirtan again, it would get worse. It was very, very, very painful. Like rheumatic pains. I was only 20 years old. So I was given some service in the temple. I was in very place in London for some time. I was cooking, doing a lot of cooking. And then during the day I preached. Cooked the morning offering for the deities and for the devotees, their breakfast. I was doing quite a lot of cooking at that time. Both in the manor for some time and then at very place also. But I wasn't much inclined to stay in the temple. I wanted to go out traveling Sankirtan, distribute books. But every time I tried, within a short time, the carrying the book bag and everything, I'd just get this tremendous bodily pain. So I needed to go to a warmer climate. So I thought to go to India, although I'd never been much attracted to preaching to India. The first book I sold was to an Indian in the temple. I was visiting Bhaktivedanta Man because I'd read the third canto of Bhagavatam where it described about how you got to hell by being overly attached. I became inspired that people should read things like this. I read this to one man and he bought the book. That was the first big book I sold. Otherwise he was selling small books. Medium books, Krishna book, and Bhakti Godhead magazines.
Maharaj, do you have any snaps of those days or anything with you?
Yeah, so. Although I have my initiation, Brahman initiation, I was just, they're there in Bhaktivedanta archives in America. I ordered them actually, but they were supposed to be sent out to in Yugoslavia. I just wrote, dictated a com message, I don't know what happened to them. We weren't much into taking photos in those days. We took photos of Prabhupada, that's all. Rarely took photos of devotees. I can't remember doing that. I wasn't much attracted to preaching to Indians. The scene, what it was in England at the time, there wasn't much philosophical preaching to Indian people. It was mostly just, collecting money from them. You know, very few of them were becoming devotees. But I thought to go to India for different reasons. One reason is the devotees had come back from India, so they got association with Prabhupada. Of course, I need to go to a warm climate. I could have gone to South Africa or Australia or anywhere. Somehow I had the idea to go to India. And I knew it was good for Brahmachari life. It's austere. You know, that you don't have anything. The Indian culture is there. You don't have to have anything to do with women. So I thought that's good. So I thought, let me go. And I couldn't even collect the money to go because my body was so in such bad shape. So one devotee who'd come from India helped me get some. Trivikram Swami was in Delhi. He came to England to get a new visa.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him about. I just asked him, how's the preaching in India? And he immediately understood and he said, do you want to go? I said, yes. So he arranged it. So usually the temple authorities didn't like devotees to go to India. But they didn't object in my case because I was a physical wreck anyway. The GBC at the time was Jayatirtha. So he told me, he said, you can go. I spoke to him on the phone. I had to get his... What happened was the temple... Town president said we should get permission from the GBC. I think he might have been doing that just as to try to, you know, he didn't want to say no directly to me. He was trying to shift it over to the GBC. So he said, yes, you can go. But he said, don't wait. If you're going to go there and stay. There's so many people who go there and they go to India and they say they're going to stay there. They come back after 2 weeks or 3 weeks and they just waste Krishna's money. If you're going to go and stay. So then... That was very good for me because then I decided, okay, I'm going to stay. Whatever happens, I'm going to stay. And whatever happens, quite a lot of things happen. And many, many difficulties. Sickness and difficulties dealing with the devotees. At that time, devotees in India especially are very rough in dealing. So I got kicked around like a football a bit.
Where did you land first in India?
In Delhi.
Festival time?
Delhi. No.
Festival
time. It was August the 22nd, 1977. I happen to remember that date. So I went to Delhi, but then when it started to get cold, I wanted to join the BBT Library Party in India. I heard about that because they go to colleges and schools and they distribute sets of Bhagavatams and I was very interested to join them. But anyway, I was obliged to go to Delhi. So under Delhi temple, then when it started, it was a mess. The town president was pretty much in Maya. There was nothing much going on. It wasn't a very happy situation. Although I remember it was nice Jamashmi festival. Shortly after that. So anyway, I was in Delhi for about a couple of months. Then it started to get cold. And then they told me, look, if you came to escape the cold for your health, you better not stay here. You better go further south. So it gets very cold here. So then I went to Bombay to join with the idea of joining the BBT Library Party, which I first of all wanted to do. So I went on the train. There was a 14-hour delay in Gujarat because there was some accident on the line. No one seemed the slightest bit bothered. It was kind of normal thing.
So this was October, November 77?
Must have been late October.
After Prabhupada?
No. No, it must have been September or beginning of October. So then I went and I arrived in Bombay in the afternoon. In the evening I met Gagamohan Swami, who was in charge of the BBT library party. He said, there's a party going out tomorrow. You can go out with them. I just arrived, you know. And then inevitably they got delayed, and so we didn't leave until the evening of the next day. I remember. Anyway, that's something. It's a pretty heavy thing. There's no need to tell it. Yeah. So I was out on a traveling party with Yagya was the leader. Mahaman, who's now the town president in Vrindavan, he was on the party. And myself, and there's another devotee. I think maybe his name was Dulal Chandra. There's a Dulal Chandra who's Prabhupada's disciple who's in North Carolina. I wonder if that's the same person. I can't remember. He wasn't doing anything. He was cooking. What happened was I was, because actually the library party program was winding down. They covered the country and they were just going to some, and they were just doing some colleges which had already been done, and they were just trying to get orders. So they sent me to like secondary schools. They'd never done secondary schools because they never gave orders. So I was extremely tired. They didn't give orders for sets, so I'd be going around all day visiting schools, and they'd buy like a Bhagavad Gita or something. So it wasn't very encouraging. So we went different places in Maharashtra, then we went up to Allahabad. I saw a couple of sets of folks with Yogi's help in Allahabad, and then Yogi said one day, let's go and take darshan of Prabhupada. So we drove all day. In the evening we reached Vrindavan, took darshan of Prabhupada. That's described in the Memories of Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj was there, who I knew from England. I was very, as all the devotees were, I was in England, I was very fond of Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj. He was a brahmacharya time, very much. He was very much looked up to. So he was there, and Javatagni Raj was there. He was in Javatagni Raj's zone. He was preaching in Bangladesh and maybe Nepal. Maybe just Nepal, I'm not sure exactly. Anyway, Javatagni Raj was quite well known at that time for picking up men from here and there. I don't know if you want to, for his zone. So he saw me and asked, where are you from? And I said, I replied, I said, how many books are you distributing? I said, not very many. He said, hey, we're distributing lots of books in Bengal. I said, oh yeah, well, I'm interested in that. So anyway, there was a bit of a scene, but the next day I was off with him to Delhi, and from there on to Calcutta, then to Mayapur, and then up to Assam to join the Traveling Sangatan Party. And they were distributing a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of books. In Assam, there are a lot of people from Bangladesh. So the Sangatan van was just surrounded by people all day, anxious to take the books. I was going out with a book bag and selling books. So I was on the party with Ananda Sarup,
mm-hmm,
Brahmacharya, for some time, traveling in Assam and Bengal. Went to Bihar once, Orissa, went to Puri once. He had quite an austere program that we would take prasad in the morning. Would be chira, that flat rice with dahi and some fruit and some muri. And then at night we'd eat. We had a nice prasad in the evening. All day we'd be out in the hot sun distributing books.
So your health was much better by now?
No. I was having other kinds of problems. That problem came in the winter. I still got that problem, not so bad, but then I got hepatitis twice, with relapse twice, and it was very heavy, months and months. Once I was 3 months out with it, and heavy fevers, malaria, hepatitis, and it was just one thing after the other. I was very sick actually a lot of the time.
Where were you during this spate of sickness?
Sometimes Calcutta, sometimes Mayapur. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but, you know, no one, there wasn't much sympathy. You weren't much looked after or anything. It's just like a piece of garbage on the floor, just getting in the way or something.
But did you have the facility of some doctors or somebody coming in and looking at you? And then,
I was in the clinic in Mayapur, some madman, so-called devotee. That was the medical attention. Those weren't days of much sympathy, that's for sure. And I was leading up a Sankirtan party for some time. Then I was in Calcutta temple for some time. Due to sickness. Also, that was one time in Krishna consciousness I got somewhat confused because different leaders were fighting over me under whose... My propensity was just to follow different leaders, but I became bewildered because there were four different leaders all claiming that I should follow them. So I was just a young brahmacharya. And one would say, do something, and then someone else would come and tell me to do something else. And if I didn't do it, he'd get on my case. And if I did do it, another leader would come and get on my case. So I became bewildered, and I didn't know what to do.
This was just after Prabhupada?
Yeah, this was...
Or a year after that?
This was in 78. This must have been late 78, early 79. So then during this time I was in Calcutta temple and I was the temple commander, but it was a pretty rough atmosphere in the temple. So I just did the minimal service and did a lot of reading. That's all. I took shelter in Prabhupada's books. We had fantastic kirtans in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Every evening. Tremendous kirtans. But I wasn't stretching myself to do service. So then Vyasaki came from Bangladesh to Calcutta. He was explaining how nice the preaching is there. And Prabhupada Maharaj is in charge. So I wanted to get out of that whole scene. Then Prabhupada Maharaj came a little time after that. And then immediately I had such a good feeling from him because he was, you know, he was very unlike the devotees I'd been with, who were just... He was very understanding and friendly and wasn't trying to put me down. So anyway, he made some arrangement, even though the devotees in Calcutta didn't want me to go. He wanted for me to go to Bangladesh. Then I was there for some time in Bangladesh, and then Prabhupada Maharaj's own eventually expanded into Thailand, and Burma, Malaysia, Nepal. I only went to Nepal a few times, but I got quite involved in the preach. I was basically in Bangladesh for a few years. And then I was sometimes in Bangkok, sometimes in Burma. We only got a 1 week visa, and sometimes in Malaysia. I guess I was a bit of a troubleshooter for Prabhupada Maharaj. He would send me wherever there was a need. In Thailand, I was sometimes doing BBT work for the zone that Prabhupada Maharaj's zone in Nepal. Between myself and Atmavidya, we used to share the duties of overseeing the preaching there and the BBT work. Can you turn this off? Sometime. Then Prabhupada Maharaj became a GBC. And then basically we were establishing I was working under Prabhupada Maharaj and helping him to establish our movement in these different countries. But it came a point where the movement was more or less going on in Bangladesh and Malaysia, and there was no sign of it coming together either in Burma or Thailand. So that particular stage, we'd gone through one stage and the local devotees were taking it up in those places. So I felt to move to... Another thing was that
One thing was somewhat frustrating. Well, I don't have to go into all of that. But I wanted to move to a bigger field. That was my feeling. I wanted to go to a place which is, to a country which is important on the world scene, like an important country. So Russia preaching was opening up at that time. I was interested to go there, but I wasn't allowed to at the time. They were restricting the devotees who went there. I was thinking either to go to Russia or to India. So they didn't allow me to go to Russia, so I went to India.
Health-wise, Russia would have again probably meant...
No, well, I wouldn't have, I couldn't have stayed in the winter. You know, 6 months of the year, it's not freezing cold.
Which year was this, Maharaj?
This year was, that was about 1989 then. About 89. I think it was, let me see. This must have been, I was put on a 5-year list for sannyas in 1981. Prabhupada Maharaj asked about, you're going to take sannyas. I never actually thought about it. It must have been about 1980 he asked me. At that time I must have been what? Because I was on a 5-year list. Maybe it was 81. So then I would have been like 24 years old. And they put me on a 5-year list. I was clear to take sannyas in 1986. So I didn't want to. There was a lot of disturbance in our movement at that time. I didn't want to take sannyas. Then by 1989 I thought, well, why not? I'm already traveling and preaching and doing all this. I might as well make the commitment and take sannyas. So then I took sannyas. I was already approved in 86, but I took in 89. Then for some years I got a pass and I was traveling and preaching in Andhra Pradesh. That was very nice preaching, but due to some misunderstandings with the local leaders there, about 91, I resituated in Gujarat, where I've been based ever since.
Maharaj, this span in Bangladesh, we seem to have covered it. It seems to have almost from, can I say, from 80 till 89?
79. Not 79 to 89, but you see, I spent a total of about 2 years in Thailand in that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was sometimes for three, I was based there for some time, but then some. That's like one day Prabhupada Maharaj arrived in Bangkok as town president there, and he said, look, we have to go to Malaysia immediately. We have to be town president there. So, boom, I think by the afternoon, we're on the flight going.
So the temple was, how many devotees?
In Thailand, it was a great struggle. Very great struggle.
Mm-hmm.
There were very few devotees. They were sent out to Thailand. A lot of them fell down. So if you're not in good consciousness, Thailand's a prime place for falling down. So it's a strong place. It's very difficult preaching there. People are Buddhists. They have no concept of God and very little inclination towards. Even now, after so many years, there's very little inclination towards pure devotional service. I'm sure it'll expand at some point in time, but it was a very difficult time. And again, I was getting sick again and again with malaria. It only stopped when one devotee told me once you should take Sudarshan Churna, and then it stopped. Otherwise, I was getting heavy malaria. I'd be out for days at a time. Just lying down, I couldn't do anything. So many times, I can't count how many times. There's so many difficulties, financial difficulties, so many things. So that period, 79 to 89, as in Prabhupada Maharaj's own, during that period I went to Australia and New Zealand a couple of times also when he became GBC there. He wanted me to go to Australia actually, but I wasn't much interested. I was more interested in staying in India.
Any of the other personalities who were with you at this period in Bangladesh, who are presently available, whom we might know also?
Yeah, Nistula is still there in Bangladesh.
Who, Maharaj?
There's one devotee called Nistula.
Uh-huh.
He came just a few months after I went, and he's been based there ever since. He hardly ever goes outside the country.
He's a native?
He's from Canada.
Uh-huh. And Vaishakhi Prabhu has also spent a lot of time.
Not much time, actually. He was there for about maybe a year, year and a half, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that much time.
And then you...
I was made the Tamil president in Dhaka, which was the only center. I mean, I had a few devotees. By default, I was made the... And that was my first well, apart from taking out Sankirtan party, that was my first management position. I was in management for quite a few years. But I didn't think I was very good at it. Prabhupada Maharaj wanted me to stay doing it, because he didn't have many people to help him.
Mahavishnu Swami was also...
He was in Nepal. I didn't see him that much.
Uh-huh.
I went to Nepal just a few times. So maybe we had to drive our vehicles there. Once I went there to take some money there, that's all. Maybe 3 or 4 times I went there.
So mainly you were doing book distribution or...
In Bangladesh? All kinds of everything. Bangladesh, we had to do everything. It was traveling, preaching, book production, book distribution, and then legal matters, and organizing the temple, and cooking, pujari work, everything. When you're beginning a yatra, beginning preaching in a country, you have to do everything, cleaning the floor, everything, giving classes,
everything. That way you got to do
every service.
So it's before your sannyas, did you relocate?
I used to do a lot of cooking, actually. At one point. And now I very rarely do it now. Mm. Yeah? No.
Maharaj, when did you actually take sannyas?
89.
And even before that you had moved on to Andhra? Or after sannyas?
No, shortly after that. In 89, then I went to Malaysia. That was the last time I went to Malaysia, actually. I got my visa for India there, and I came to India, and shortly after that I started traveling. I'd never been to South India, but one godbrother from South, who was based in Hyderabad, said, "You'll like it there."
Mm-hmm.
Said the people there are more philosophically inclined and they like to discuss Shastra, you'll like it there, which is true.
89.
It's the first time I went south, even though I'd been based in the Indian subcontinent for 10 years. I didn't go anywhere unless there was some service to do, and I didn't have any service there after that point. No, I think the first time I went to the south, probably Shri Maharaj actually sent me, it may have been 72, because I had some problem in Nepal, so I wanted me to get something from Kanchi Shankaracharya saying our movement's bona fide.
Mm-hmm.
So I was chasing after him for a little time, but didn't have any success with him.
The Kanchi Shankaracharya? You tried meeting him many times or something?
Yeah, I was trying to meet him, but he wasn't interested at all.
Mm-hmm. As usual, just externally very... Yeah, externally they are very friendly.
I don't know, he wasn't even externally friendly. I didn't even get close to him. He was on tour, maybe that's why. If he'd been in Kanji, I could have probably met him.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people trying to meet him. But his lower downs, then they didn't want me to. They're envious, actually.
This was after sannyas, Maharaj?
No.
Before?
Yeah, so I must have gone to South India maybe first time, 88.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember exactly.
And when is it that you decided, and how is it that you decided on Gujarat and Baroda ultimately?
Well, it was
because if I'm right, till now you hadn't made it to Gujarat.
No, I never
at all. So
I've never been to Gujarat except being stuck on the train.
On the train, yeah.
I'd never been. Well, to tell the truth, is because my godbrothers there, they were open to me being there. They welcomed me to be there, which
I was having some problem in South India and I felt I didn't feel I was very much welcome. You might not want to put on these things.
I understand.
I did very nice traveling and preaching in Andhra. And there were some ruffians who were in charge and still are in charge. Hyderabad temple, well, one particular person.
Maharaj, basically, when is it that you were asked to be a guru, and how does this? I don't know much about this.
Yeah, well, what happened was there was very restricted guruship in ISKCON, and then at one point it opened up, and it was said that anyone who they had to get clearance from their local devotees that they're fit for this. So this was before I took sannyas. Prabhu Shimaj said, "I'm getting you approved to be a guru." I said, "I'm not interested," but he went ahead and did it anyway. So I didn't tell anybody, but Prabhu Shimaj made a point of telling everybody in that zone. And what happened was Lakshman, who's now in Vrindavan from Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
I was preaching to him. He came to me and asked me questions, and I wasn't even in Malaysia, but he got the idea he wanted to be my disciple. Somehow or other he found out that I was approved to be a guru, and I didn't have any disciples. So I wasn't very interested in initiating him or anybody else, but it wasn't interesting means I didn't feel very sure of myself or very competent to do that. That's in my etiquette book, Prabhupada, in my Master Chant, Jai Radha. Said Chant Hare Krishna.
I heard that and I thought the same.
Anyway, he kept on. He didn't change his mind. I think for about 1.5 years. Then I thought to give him initiation, so I did. Which year was that? I can look and see. In 91.
God Purvima 91.
Yeah.
This was my Purmaraj?
Yeah.
I really didn't know Lakshman was your first disciple.
Well, now you know. There's 91. And then maybe more than a year later, Nityananda Ram also became the second. He was traveling, he'd been traveling with me on the bus.
This was Gujarat, man?
No, I was in South India, first of all.
Uh-huh.
Talking to him, I picked up Hindi, actually.
Uh-huh.
I was in South India, and then I was only speaking to him, and I didn't know any Hindi, but by talking to him, I first of all started to pick it up.
But because you probably had the
I still only speak
Hindi
to him.
From Bengali?
Yeah, because I knew Bengali became Indian, and I could be somehow or other communicate in some Hindi. Then I still only speak to him in Hindi, although apparently he speaks to other people in English. So then he became another disciple, and gradually others came, and then I just... service to Prabhupada, right? Service to the Parampara, people, preaching, and people need someone to look up to. So now I have more disciples. Oh,
All right, what else is there? Is there anything else?
That Gauri was asking about what my most important service is writing, actually.
Since when did you start?
First thing I did, first book I made. Sometimes I used to send articles to Bhakti Godhead, because at one point the Bhakti Godhead went through a very insipid period, really wishy-washy articles. So I used to send them these really heavy articles, which they didn't print. But the first thing I made was a book called Vaishnava Shikha or Shadana. It was for Bangladesh, because I saw we were going from village to village doing these programs. We'd be there one day and gone the next. But there was no, and people were interested, but there was no actual program. And there was no program for training them in anything. So I made this book. It's like Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But it was especially directed for the people in Bangladesh, because they knew some things and they misknew some things. So I wrote that first of all in English, and then I had one journalist translate it, and then I went through it line by line with him. So that's still popular in Bangladesh, that book. And at the same time I wanted to learn different verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. So I thought, well, I'm collecting these verses for myself, so I might as well make a book out of it. So I made a small book, a collection of important verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. That's called Gauriya Vaishnava Padavali. Not Padavali, Padyavali.
Padyavali.
But in Bengali it's been Padavali. Almost the same as Padavali. Can you hear the difference?
Yes.
Padavali, Padavali. Padavali. Not exactly silent. There's a slight difference. It makes the D become double. Padavali becomes a long.
Maharaj, do you have the English versions of both this?
No. Then the next thing I decided to do is Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness.
Shikha, Vaishnava Shikha or Sadhana was the first one that came up.
Yeah.
Which year was that?
I don't know. I'd have to look at the book and see. I think it was 89? 87? I'm not sure. No, it must have been before 89. Because that Brahmacharya book came out in... It must have been 89. I wrote it as a Brahmacharya, and by the time it was published, I'd taken sannyas. So I thought about I thought about writing a book about Brahmacharya life. Then when I went to New Zealand, and I saw there was the first time I'd been to a Western temple for some time, and I saw the rundown condition of the Brahmacharya ashram. I'm not talking about the physical building, but the standards of Brahmacharya life had gone down. So I thought I'd write a book. So I did. And then I wanted to do a beginner's guide to Krishna consciousness, which is similar to Shikha or Shadana. So I did that. I mean, I just saw a need for it, so I did it.
Maharaj, did you get any encouragement with regard to these books in the beginning?
Encouragement?
With regard to the authorities, two with regard to the people who are receiving it.
Encouragement means I got encouragement from Super Soul in the Heart, from Prabhupada. Understanding the need for these books. Now I've got a lot of incredible people, and so many people say they read the book. People are reading and appreciating. I'm all the time getting letters and people. When, just as I go to Vrindavan at festival time, so many people come and say, I read this book, that book. And then after that, I gradually wrote other books. I can't remember exactly the order now. I think the next one after that was Message to Youth of India. Because I was preaching in the colleges, I saw there's a need for that. I also spent some time working with the BB in between traveling in Andhra. I'd come out to Bombay. I did work with the BBT in Bombay, designing book covers and made that Hare Krishna challenge book.
Mm-hmm. Sword of Knowledge also?
Sword of Knowledge means that book was called Renunciation Through Wisdom. And then when we were going to print it in India, I changed the title to The Sword of Knowledge, because that title, Renunciation, it was a collection of essays by Prabhupada, but it wasn't ever made into a book. Bhakti Chara Maharaj gave the title in Bengali. It's translated into English, but I thought, who wants to buy a book called Renunciation?
that renunciation. So I changed the title.
Mm-hmm.
Don't print this. If they find out, they'll change it.
Then I got some other books printed through the PBT in Bombay. Vidyananda Maharaj's book, The Enlightenment by the Natural Path.
Mm-hmm.
Vinayasri Prabhu's book. It was called Encounters with Lord of the Universe, but I changed the title to another of the essays in the book, Endless Love.
Oh, that's a beautiful collection.
And there's another book by Satyaraj about Christianity. Actually, I was making a book about Prabhupada on Christianity. But then a godbrother told me that Satyaraj had written a good book. So I got that printed. Although, I'm not a fan of Satyaraj's books. Don't read his books. He became worse after that, actually. That book was more or less okay. Then what else? Future book projects. We already had that from the other night. We have that Ishtagosha.
Yes.
Then what else?
Any specific thing that you expect from your disciples, or a message?
You'll find that in my Vyasa Puja offering to Prabhupada this year.
Do you have a copy of that with you now?
No, you'll see it in August.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come here. Okay.
I also have this. I gave a message to my disciples on January the 3rd this year.
You told me you'll give me a copy of that.
Yeah, but I was looking at it today. I need so much editing. The transcription has got so many mistakes. It's better you hear the cassette.
The audio is have mistakes, but Raj, when is it that? Is it that you've always been studying constantly through, or is it that there was a particular phase when you seriously got into study of?
No, since I joined the movement, I've always been reading Prabhupada's books and studying his books. From the beginning. Actually, when I first joined the movement, there was some Hans Dodo was the GPC, and he had some really weird ideas. So one of the things we were told is reading is Maya. It's just reading is an excuse to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't read. I never followed that advice. I read anyway. I used to hide myself away and read. I used to ask a lot of questions about the philosophy when I first joined also. Every class I'd have some questions. I asked if I could find some devotees who could tell me. I'd ask them so many questions for the first few months I joined. Maybe the first couple of years or something.
Is there some specific disciple of Prabhupada that you have looked up to with regard to encouragement and preaching in Krishna consciousness, or answers or questions?
When I was in traveling Sankirtan in England and Ireland, I was much Kala Kanta, who was in America, I was much impressed with him. Like I said, Pravishna Maharaj I looked up to a lot. Many devotees helped me. Many devotees helped me. Still helping. Yeah, anything else?
I have to think up.
I got plenty to get going with, haven't I?
Yes, please. That seems true.
Raj, just one more question in the same connection.
When your parents, when did you inform them that you were joining Krishna consciousness or anything? What was their reaction to that?
What was the reaction? Well, I came back home and I told my father's already divorced from my mother, who spent about the last 14 or 15 years of her life in a mental hospital, in different mental hospitals. She had a few nervous breakdowns, and the last one she had, she never recovered from it.
This was, when did she pass away? After your...
Yeah, she passed away about 10 years ago, something. I'm not sure, it was about 10 years ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and told her. No, I told him that I came back to him and I said, I'm just here for a short time. I'm going to go and visit the Krishna temple. And I came back and said, I'm going to join. That's all. I mean, it's different in the West. It's not like you ask permission from your parents or anything. I mean, I've already left home.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know where I was. I just turned up one day. So, I mean, it wasn't that I was going to ask permission. It was just I was going to join, that's all. His opinion...
didn't count.
No opinion, Maharaj.
Hmm?
Your parents didn't give any opinion?
No, I asked him after a few days, you know, well, what do you think? You're unhappy or what? He said, actually, I wanted you to go to university, but if you're happy to do that, I'm happy. And he's always maintained that stance.
You're in touch with him still?
Man? Yeah, I see him once a year. I hadn't kept him the first year or so after I joined, just like before, I hadn't kept any contact with him. But then the GBC Jayadeva said it's a good idea for children, the devotees keep in contact with their parents. So I did. I started to write him or something once a year. So now, and still I write once a year. And then when I go to England, I see him if he's around, if he's in the area when I'm in the area. I see him. He comes to the manor.
Mm-hmm.
What are the expressions? No, really.
No, I mean, it's the same. He was, you know, he's kind of neutral. He's, right from the very beginning, he accepted I was joining the movement. And I don't know if he expected me to last or what, but I don't know what he expected. But anyway, from the very beginning, he was kind of, you know, kind of accepted it, and that's all. He wasn't never interested himself.
He did not ask any information on Krishna consciousness.
Never had any interest.
Your sisters?
I hardly saw them. I don't think I've seen... I saw one of my sisters after I joined the movement.
Being from the subcontinent, we can't imagine something. Can't imagine something like that.
One of them wrote... The eldest one wrote me a letter after my mother died. I wrote her a letter. Then I spoke to one of them on the phone once when I was in England. And the youngest one, I have no contact with. Even before I joined the movement, I didn't have any contact. So. I wasn't much integrated into my family even before. I didn't get on with my sisters much. Didn't relate to them much. Didn't talk to them much. In that way, Krishna saved me. Prabhupada said there's one good thing about the Western people, they don't have much family attachments.
But your friends, Maharaj?
Same thing, you know, friends, you have friends at school, and then, you know, you're friends because you're thrown together. After that, my friends are all in the movement, that's all. What other friends? I don't have any other friends.
Before the movement, you could join.
Yeah, that's why I say I left home and I went, you know, I left the whole thing. I left contact. I had what friends I had from school, and I left that town and I left that, and I just left all that.
Maharaj, could you tell us about one goal or one specific aspect which is always pushing you in Krishna consciousness, which is your goal and which is your moving factor? What is your aspiration to achieve for Prabhupada?
Well, I have to do some service to Prabhupada. You have to do some service. There are so many. Right now, I'm constant. There are some books. You see, after Prabhupada, the way in which his followers live and teach will affect the whole future of the Krishna conscious movement. If it's interpreted differently or they don't follow properly, then that will affect future generations. So at this stage I'm interested in writing some books to codify some Prabhupada's instructions and etiquette. That's a major goal. I'm interested in teaching this, seeing that the culture of Krishna consciousness, especially this, as it's practiced, the traditional Indian. I'm quite convinced that the way of life as it was practiced in Krishna consciousness, as practiced in India, is the idea we should be moving towards, not the pizza pie rock and roll version which is sometimes practiced in the West. So I'm interested in helping to bring this culture in the Western countries also. So writing is an important medium for doing that, and also these Bhakti Godhead articles showing something about the culture in different holy places. And it's not just a casual thing that I'm doing there. So that's it. Now another thing which I haven't been very much, I haven't done very much about it, but because I'm, like I said, I'm concentrating on this writing. But another thing is what's very important for the future of movement is establishing Krishna conscious communities based on simple living and high thinking. Alternative way of life to this insane society. So there are many things. Prabhupada was interested in making a spiritual revolution, in showing that this is the best philosophy, is the actual philosophy of life, and is the actual way of life to be lived like this. So there are many philosophical challenges also. At the present stage, our movement seems to be more concentrating on its own internal philosophical. There's a lot of churning going on in our movement. Many social issues, and our movement's, as I see it, our movement's not very much focused so much on philosophically establishing itself as resolving its own internal problems and social, trying to find its direction actually. But there's certainly a lot of work to do in defeating all the bogus philosophies of the world. Our movement was very aggressive, actually, when Prabhupada was here. Prabhupada himself set the tone of aggressive preaching, defeating all bogus philosophies. At this particular stage, our movement's not that much into it. I'm into it, but like I said, I'm a little, you could say, a little laid back in this. Not that I'm relaxing, but I'm concentrating on writing some books which will have there'll be foundations. A few books I have to write. And we'll see what other things come next. As far as disciples are concerned, well, I would hope they would, although according to position they're in and their mentality and everything. You'll see that offering, I mean, your spiritual offering, but if they, at least if they can discriminate between what is fact and what is not fact, what is actual Krishna consciousness and what is bogus, that discrimination they should have. Not take it all as all the same. Don't take it cheaply. Study Prabhupada's books. Don't skip over the parts which might cut at your false ego. Read those parts more carefully. Now everyone's going to chant Radhe Radhe because Chaitanya Chandra is chanting.